Thank you so much for visiting us online today. We believe God wants to speak to you through the following message. If you would like to connect with us or send us your prayer request, visit us at kingsgatehobbs.com.
Let's go. I've got more good news. We're starting a new book in the New Testament. Someday we'll do an Old Testament book, I'm sure. But here we are in John chapter 1. Let's go there. Very familiar book. Many of you have read it. Some of you, you started your Christian walk in the book of John by reading that. It's a powerful book. Number one, it's written by a man we believe, and according to Scripture, was the closest one to Jesus. So you always have the crowds, right? There's the crowds. The crowds are fine. It's exciting. It's hype. But you don't know everybody in the crowds, and the crowds don't know everybody who's speaking, you know, even on Flourish Night. Many of you know Pastor Jen closely, but when someone shows up here and there's 500 women, they don't all know Pastor Jen. That's the crowd, right? And that's good. Jesus had crowds, thousands. If he had 5,000 men at one meeting, we know there was probably double the women there, right? He fed 5,000 men at one meeting. So we don't know how many thousands were there listening to his voice and him preaching the word. So there were the crowds. And then there were, do you guys remember the 70? He sent out the 70 to cast out demons and lay hands on the sick. There's the 70. They're closer to Jesus. And then after the 70, there's the what? The 12, right? And then of the 12, there were three who were closer to him, and it was Peter, James, and John, right? They hung out with Jesus at one point. They're on what we call the Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus was glowing like the sun. And who appeared? Does anybody? It's a trick question. Who appeared to them? Moses and Elijah, huh? Interestingly enough, Peter recognized them. Fascinating. So they had that experience. But then after the three, Peter, James, and John, there was one who would lay his head on the chest of Jesus, and that was John. We call him John the Beloved. We believe he was the youngest of the disciples. Could have been a teenager. But he was so close to Jesus, he was like a son to him. And he would get so close to him when they'd pray and be together that he would lay his head on Jesus' chest. I mean, wow, I don't know what I'd do if I was at a Bible study and one of y'all laid your head on my chest, guys. I don't know. Guess I'd have mixed emotions about that. But, yeah, don't get any ideas. I don't know. I'm pretty affectionate, but that would be distracting. So saying all that to say, the guy who wrote this book was the closest to Jesus, even physically. He was just close to him. He was near. He was in close proximity to him. He loved him. And he even says in this book, the disciple whom Jesus loved. So he's a humble guy, but he's telling the truth. He just says, man, I was close to him. I was close to him. And it's amazing because you study history and legends, and the one who lived to be an old man, the oldest of the disciples that we know of, was John. So he lived out his years in exile after a failed execution attempt on his life that we know of. This is some of it legend and church history, but he was on the Isle of Patmos when he wrote the book of Revelation as an old man. Okay? So, we begin John chapter 1, and I want you to notice something real special here. The book of John begins like the book of Genesis begins. Notice the first three words. And it's talking about God at the beginning of our planet. Or, you want to go deeper, it just says in the beginning. So what's the beginning? Ancient past? Is it the beginning of our universe? Is it the beginning of time where God created time? Because we know he exists outside of time. He doesn't age. He's an eternal God. Eternity is outside of time. Shh, Migo, be quiet, Migo. Thank you. So we know that God exists outside of time. And outside of time is eternity, and eternity is what? There's a song, Amazing Grace. It says, when we've been there 10,000 years, we will have just begun. What is that? I mean, think about that, guys. I'm not going to ask who the oldest person in here is, okay? Because y'all all look good to me. Y'all are beautiful. But the youngest, maybe one of the cute little kids here, the little guys, yeah, they're the youngest. But can you imagine? You guys know how it is. I woke up one day. And I don't know how this happened. I'm in my 40s. Now I woke up one day and I'm pushing 50. Getting closer and closer and closer to 50. How did that happen? Some moments in time, you know how it is when you're going through a trial, it feels like it dragged on forever. You look back and go, man, those months felt like years. But then really, you look back and most of your life has just flown by. But can you imagine being in heaven 10,000 years in God's eternity outside of time, and it's only just begun, like the song says. So in the beginning, the word already existed. Ancient eternity past, we do not know when. In the beginning, the word already existed. Who is the word? God. But more importantly, right now, for our purposes, the word is made flesh. We'll get into that more later. It's Jesus, the word, the spoken word of God. So when God said, let there be light, Jesus was there because he is the word, right? So God the Father was present in creation. Jesus was present in creation. You can look at this in Genesis. You can find it pretty easily right in the beginning, the first couple verses there. And the Spirit of God was there. Scripture says the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the deep. So you have God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Right here it says, in the beginning the Word already existed. I believe the King James Version says, in the beginning was the Word. Wow, but I like this translation. The Word was with God, right? And the Word was God. Now let's slow down again here. Check this out. So, I am a spirit and so are you. I have a soul and so do you, right? Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your thinking, your decision-making abilities, and your feelings. That's your soul, okay? So, my soul is with me right now. It has to be, because I'm thinking and feeling and making decisions to say things, deciding to look at you, deciding to make certain expressions and move my hands. My soul is with me, and my soul is me, isn't it? Okay? And, well, your body, we know that's yours, because if your body wasn't here, I wouldn't see you. So you are right here with your body, but you are a spirit that lives forever with your soul, and you have a soul. So let me say it again. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. This is your house, and it's temporary, okay? My mom is in heaven. We buried her former house out here at the cemetery. I think it was early June of 2018, and oh, it was a hot day. Does anybody remember my mom's funeral? I felt like, oh my goodness, it was peeling the skin off my head. It was so hot that day. But here we are. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. I love how he begins his book. It echoes Genesis. It's a beautiful thing. So let's move on. He existed in the beginning with God, and we understand from the previous verse that he was God. Okay, so he existed always. God created everything through him. Why do you think it says that? Well, if we, once again, Scripture explains Scripture. In Genesis, every time God created, how did he create? He didn't just think it, huh? He spoke it. So God created everything through him, the spoken word. Okay? So, powerful thing here. Jesus is the Word. You say, man, how did he know so much of the Word? He was a human, but he was God. He had to learn. Yeah, he had to learn, but he was the Word embodied. And at 12, Scripture says that he was at the temple asking, they were shocked by the questions he asked. He knew the Word. He was the Word embodied. Everything about him was the Word, the fulfillment of prophecy. God created everything through him. He was there at creation. He said, let there be light, right? And he said, let there be animals and plants. Amazing. And nothing was created except through him. Let's read that again. God created everything through him. Who? The Word, Jesus. And nothing was created except through him. I know the answer to this, but any questions so far? I always like to ask that because everybody's like, I'm not asking you any questions right now. Okay, let's keep going. The Word gave life. Excuse me. To everything that was created. And his life brought light to everyone. So let's look at that again. Let's hesitate there and go over it again. The Word, Jesus, you can use those words interchangeably. Jesus and the Word. Jesus gave life to everything that was created. Wow. And his life brought light to everyone. Why is light important? Anybody? Why is light so important? See where you're going? Because, ooh, you're stealing from the next few verses. It pierces darkness. That's one translation. That's good. Anybody else? Why is light so important? Guidance. Let's go to, you know what? Why don't we do it? I brought it up Sunday. Psalm 119:105, I believe it is, Miha. Let's do that in the New Living Translation or whatever's handy. Psalm 119:105. I brought this one up Sunday. Look at this. This wasn't part of the plan, so I just want to interject this. Psalm 119:105. Look at this. Your word. Someone say your word. Or Jesus, right? Jesus is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. You ever tripped over something? Oh, man, you know what? I don't even think it was the light. I can't blame it on that. Was it last night? It might have been. I was walking out of our guest room, and I hit my leg on the, oh, gosh, it's sore, on the corner of the bed. You know the frame? Oh, have you ever done that before? You ever hit your toe, your little baby toe, and it bends back like that? Oh, you thought you died. Oh, my gosh. Light helps you to avoid pitfalls like that. Your word, or Jesus, is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Let's go back to the book of John, if you would, please. Chapter 1, I believe we're in verse 4. The word gave life. Someone say life. Gave life to everything that was created. And his life brought light to everyone. So it's amazing to me when you talk to evolutionists. What are evolutionists? They are those that believe things just happened by chance. We came from monkeys, you know, and things just happened. There was, you know, there was an explosion and it just happened to be. Guys, have you seen how complex everything is? The life that God created? You study the human eye and it disproves evolution on its own. I went to the eye doctor today. And the test they got to run on your eye, not just can you read this, and I am very nearsighted, and I'm proud to say now I'm going to need bifocals. Praise God. But anyway, anyway, I want you to know who's feeding you, so I give you little facts about my life. I'm feeding you the word tonight. Went to the eye doctor today, and the eye is so amazingly complex, and they can do all these stuff. Is this screen better than that one, this one? And they can line stuff up and take the blurry out. And at one point, because of the way my eyes are built, it looked like I was seeing cross-eyed. Things were doing this. I was seeing double. I said, oh, I can fix that. And it's amazing what your eye can do. To my understanding, the human eye is the fastest focusing eye in nature. You may not be able to see the farthest, but God gave you eyes that it's like you're always in focus. Huh? Have you noticed that? You don't usually have to refocus. And I know we have eye correction. You've got eyeglasses in here, sharp eyeglasses. They're nice. And those help us to see better. I have contacts on right now. But your eye, just about it, to your mind, it's like it's always focused, right? Things just stay in focus. And you're able to see because of light. I remember one time we went to visit, I think it's called the New Cave in Carlsbad. Has anyone ever heard of that? It's not really new. It might be 100 years old. I don't know. But they don't have guardrails, and it's not as commercialized. And it's a different place near Carlsbad, and it's another series of caves. And we got deep in there. I was a 10th grader in high school, and I went with, you ready? Nerd alert. I went with the science club. And we went to Carlsbad. I'll never forget that. And we went to the new cave. It's not very new. And we got in there, and the tour guide says, okay, everybody turn off your flashlights. So we turned off our lights, and it became so dark in there that you couldn't judge where your hand was, and I kept hitting my face. Because it's you imagine it, and he says, you're imagining what your hand looks like, but you cannot see it. It was an absolute absence of light, so it was pure darkness. But once you turn the light on, or turn a flashlight on, you're able to see again. Your eyes react to light, okay? Your eyes, in tandem with your brain, process light to give images to you, okay? Powerful. The word gave life to everything that was created. So talking about two things really there, creation and how we came from God and he created us. It didn't just randomly happen. The The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. Did you know? And this is an old argument, but I've got to say it because it's so beautiful. My grandpa used to say it, my grandpa Treadwell. It takes way more faith to believe that we just happened than to just believe God created us. Think about it. It takes all kinds. To me, it's a strange form of weird faith, but it takes a lot more faith and belief to say, oh, it just happened. We started off as one cell, and we turned into a few more, and then it turned into a creature that tripped over and fell and injured itself, and that became a leg. And, you know, all this stuff happened by chance. No, God created us, okay? You believe the Word, you are a creationist. You believe in creation, what we call intelligent design. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. Look into genetics sometime. And it's the hand of God is your code for existence. Your height, the way you react to medications, the way you react to sun, the way your hair grows or doesn't grow, the way you look, the way you respond to things physically, your genetics are incredible. It is the code that God gave you. And you study genetics and you can just see the hand of the Creator. You can see what one man of God years ago called the signature of God. You can see it in the universe. You can see it in the nighttime, in the stars. Creation. Someone say creation. And His life brought light to everyone. Let's move on. The light shines in the darkness is what Sis was referring to. Or it pierces the darkness, one translation says. And the darkness can never extinguish it. One translation says, and the darkness comprehended it not. The darkness can't even understand the light. It can't deal with it. Because no matter how weak your light, you can turn on a light of any kind in the absolute blackest, dark, obscure darkness, and that light will come on, and it will shine its rays. Okay? Just like we were in that new cave when I was a 10th grader in high school, and we turned our flashlights back on, and all of a sudden there was light, no matter how dark it was. And I'm telling you, the dark was absolute darkness. You could see nothing. You were seeing, it's like you were seeing residue or the residual images of what you were just seeing. And you know how you see spots and you see stuff and you can still imagine it. You ever turn off the light and you still see the corona of, you know, the lights. You can still see the circles and the energy outlines, basically. And it was that way for a little while, but then it went pitch dark. But here's the truth of the matter. The light shines in the darkness no matter how dark it is. At one point, Jesus said to His disciples, He said, you are the light of the world. He's the light, but now the light shines through you. So you get to be His representatives on earth. You get to be the light, okay? So really think about that as you live life, because God's watching you, others are watching you, and you're holding up a light. Man, is your light bright or is it dark? The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness, look, the darkness can never extinguish it. If you keep serving God, the darkness can never put you out. Ever. Your light shines on for eternity. Let's keep going. Now, God sent a man, John the Baptist. That does not mean he went to a Baptist church. Okay, are y'all still with me? That's a terrible church joke. It means he baptized people. John the Baptist, okay? To tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. Historically, there are those historians who believe that John the Baptist and his disciples baptized over 1 million people. Don't know, I wasn't there, but we know it was a great revival that prepared the way for Jesus, don't we? He was baptizing people for repentance and getting right with God and getting prepared for Jesus. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the one true light, right? A witness. Someone say a witness. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. I want to stop on that verse tonight and talk about it for a minute, but we're going to stop there. John 1:9. The one who is the true light, who gives light to whom? Just a few. No, he gives light to everyone. If you want his light, you can have it. You want his salvation, you want his character in your life, you can have it. Isn't that amazing? The God of the universe looks at you and says, I created you, I want you back. I want you back. There's so many distractions in life. I believe that life has more distractions than ever now. got phones, and they are amazing. The technology is amazing, but you can watch a movie. They predicted this years ago. I remember people years ago going, man, pretty soon you're going to have a phone. You can watch movies on it. I thought, that sounds crazy. You're going to be able to call people and look at each other. They were talking about that when I was a little boy, and they joke about it. People were like, well, you better answer the phone with all your clothes on. Make sure you don't just run out of the shower and answer the phone, you know. But now you have FaceTime and whatever Android has, but I'm an iPhone user, so you can see. I remember, oh gosh, when was that? Like 13 or 14 years ago, the first time I saw that FaceTime, and I went, oh my gosh, we have arrived. You can talk to someone and look them in the eye. Incredible. And that's great. We can use that for God's glory, but there's so many distractions now. Talking to someone about, do you guys remember back in the day, was it 3 months or 6 months when movies would leave the theater for them to come to VHS? Does anyone remember? Was it like 6 months? And I feel like it went down to 3 months, and now it's, they go, oh, in theater movies, $20. What a great deal. Well, for a family, I mean, you know, it's cheaper than going to the movies, or $30, whatever. But I was talking to someone, I said, man, it's great, but it's like, man, it's too easy now to access stuff. Looking at stuff yesterday and today, because I have some Amazon birthday gift cards, and I was looking at some movies I'd wanted to check out. And I don't watch a ton of movies, but I like movies, and if they're clean enough. And I just thought, wow, wasn't this just in the theater last week or 2 weeks ago? And you can stream it now for a premium, right? For a small fee, you too can watch it. But it's there. And that's great, and it's fun if it's not abused, but there's access to so many things now. We want it right now, instant gratification, and there's so many distractions, but God says, I want you back. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. If you let him, he will shine his light on you, and he will reflect it off of you and through you. And then you will make that statement true, what Jesus said. We know that's a true statement, but you will live out that statement of, you are the light of the world. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. John 1:9. Let's end there tonight, and let's just pray before we go. Is there anyone in this house, anyone at all? And this is not something you need to be ashamed of. But is there anyone in this house, every eye closed, every head bowed, is there anyone in this house at the sound of my voice or on the live stream that says, Pastor Matt, if I died, I don't know where I'd go. I don't know if I'd go to heaven or if I'd go to hell. You may be saying, I've never accepted yet officially and confess with my mouth what Jesus did for me on the cross. If that is you tonight and you're not sure about your relationship with the Lord, please raise your hand. I'm going to pray with you. We're going to make sure you have peace with God. God bless y'all for your courage. Anybody else? Y'all have such great courage. Everybody in this house, every head bowed, every eye closed, let's pray together, if you would please. This is such an important moment. There's folks accepting Jesus and what he did. Say, Heavenly Father. Everybody in this house, say, Heavenly Father, I'm sorry for my sin. Without you, Lord, I'm a sinner. But I come to you humbly, knowing that I can't save myself. I can't give myself peace. I can't fix myself. I need you, Lord. I confess and I believe that Jesus is my Lord. Not my own will, not my desires, not Satan, not this world and pleasures, but Jesus is my Lord. I confess, and I believe that he died and rose again for me. Thank you for saving me, Lord. Come into my life and my heart. Live within me by your Spirit. Thank you for saving me from myself and from sin and from hell. Thank you, Lord God. I believe in Jesus' name. Now, every hand in this house, please raise it up toward heaven, and I'm going to pray a blessing over you. May the Lord bless you and protect you, smile upon you and be gracious to you, give you of his favor and of his perfect peace. The Lord said, in the Old Testament, when the priests would bless the people of God, see, you and I are priests now according to the new covenant. We're kings and priests in God's new kingdom. by the blood of Jesus. Every time the priest would speak a blessing, the Lord said that the people would be blessed. So I bless you tonight in Jesus' name. And you can bless others the same way. Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 through 27, I believe. May the Lord bless you and protect you, smile upon you and be gracious to you, give you of his perfect peace. Shalom peace. It covers everything. You're not missing anything. You're not distracted. You're covered in his protection, in his covering. May you be blessed tonight. And may God's word continue to echo in your heart throughout this week and throughout your life. Everything that you've heard from his word. Not because I brought it, but because he wrote it and he promised it. He's not a man that he should lie. And I thank you, Father, for your goodness and for your word tonight. In Jesus' name, someone said, amen.